Nice to see so many people here. Okay, so I've got really two presentations. One's a short one that's just about system documents and a little bit about navigation, which I've actually presented before, but when there's new people in the room, it's sometimes helpful to just get a bit of a feel for the way Microsoft lays out its website and what documents are there or not. So roughly, and this is really quite short, I'm going to whiz through this pretty quickly, just talk a little bit about system overview documents, where they are, what you get, and where you might find them. But you see, just to see if people are paying attention or you're awake, I thought I'd give you some news. Well, really, I'm lying. So SMB won't be following RF6214, which you all know immediately, don't you? No? No tickers? It was the year of IP6, so we have to. But I have to apologize. I do occasionally do bad jokes. I was going to do an IPv4 joke, but they're all tired out, exhausted. But I was going to, so I thought I'll do an IPv6 joke, but nobody was interested. Sorry. So, XML. Have you heard about XML? It's going to be according to RFC 252. You all know that well, don't you? Come on. Do you recognize it? Otherwise known as bloat. Okay. I completely digress from system overview documents. I can't resist having the odd bad joke thrown in. So let me talk what I'm really about. So open protocol documents. Microsoft, for being a bad boy a few years back, got a bit hand-slapped in Europe and in America. The hand-slapping in America is officially called MCPP, which is essentially client-to-server protocols. The hand-slapping in Europe was called WSPI, Windows Server Protocol Programs. Okay. And when I say hand-slapping, basically they did a lot of things wrong, and the remedy was to publish these documents. Okay, so we were obliged to publish client-server protocol documents and the Windows Server protocol documents. We also made this promise later. Mr. Balmers made this promise to the European Union, and it falls under the title of this Microsoft Interoperability Program. I'm sure I heard Tom rephrase it as something else earlier, but I can never quite remember what it is anyway. Just to basically MIP means that we publish the protocols we publish all the Windows protocols in one form or other, client and server, and then also so-called high-volume products, which includes protocols for these. So if you're interested in protocol documents, we've got lots and lots of them to choose from. In fact, we're almost getting to the point where, like standards organizations, you know the old joke about standards, where they say the great thing about standards is there's so many to choose from. Well, we've got a pretty good selection of protocols for you now. Just very briefly, background, if you're kind of new to these documents and you haven't looked. So we tend to live in acronyms. The actual specifications themselves, so the documents that specify protocols, we call TDs. We tend to call TDs technical documents. And hence, as Tom said earlier as well, when there's something wrong with it, we have TDIs, technical document issue or incident, whatever you want to call it. So the TDs themselves, the protocol specifications, come in several flavors. They're so-called block protocols, which if I was a C++ programmer, I would just say that's the generic protocol document type. And then the others are kind of more specific versions of that, really. So if you see block, that just means there was nothing specific about it. SMB follows under block. But then, for instance, if you find an RPC protocol document, and when we say RPC protocol, we actually really mean methods that use RPC. So they're really like libraries, frankly, that use RPC. We also have a bunch of SOAP protocols, an increasing number of SOAP protocols for all those people that love XML. I shouldn't harp on about this, but I'm an old RPC guy, and when someone shows me three lines of IDL, and then I look at SOAP, and it's like wisdom, and it's like 500 lines. I think, wow, we're really improving the world, you know. So, technical documents, you're going to see that. You might see Block, you might see RPC, you might see SOAP. And then we also have data structures, which are literally not protocols themselves. They're just data structures that are used by one or more protocol specifications. And there's quite a few of them around in the system as well, anyway, as well. Then we have a separate set of documents that I don't know whether people have found them or not, but we have so-called system documents. So these are overview documents that are not themselves specifications. They merely explain how one, well, usually more than one, how a group of protocols in Windows operates together to accomplish a number of tasks. Okay, and that's really what I'm going to talk about. So just to put this in a little bit of context, because we were under regulation both in Europe and in America, we kind of had our hands tied and we were forced to go away and document stuff in certain styles. In the US, we were pushed down this route, so-called system documents, and they were split into two types. There was protocol families, which essentially is an overview document that describes a group of protocols. And then there were so-called defined tasks. And rather than describe groups of protocols in a document, they essentially describe tasks you might want to do. So join a domain was a good example of a task. Okay, and that, of course, did exercise a bunch of protocols. So these exist. The US regulators, the Department of Justice, wanted us to write normative, somehow, overview documents, which is almost like a contradiction in terms. If you go to any of the existing standards bodies, they have their specifications, which are, quote, normative, i.e. the things you have to follow. And anything else above that is usually in the characterized as guidelines. So it's kind of, well, here's a hint of how to do it. This is what you might want to do. I mean, the problem with making these guys normative is it kind of implies that if anybody else implements, that they've got to pick up these documents and implement all of it. In our experience, if you look, very few people are wanting to implement all of this stuff. Frankly, just in my personal opinion, to implement all of it would really be folly, because I tell you, we look at some of our protocols and you go, why? Why did we even write that protocol? You know? But if you want to go and implement it, hey, far be it from us to stop you. But don't take it as read that because we publish the protocol documents that you necessarily want to implement them. I think that's a kind of suspect model. But that's the model the regulators like, so good for them. So TDs, just to give you a little insight, if you look at protocol spec, Tom touched on that a little bit, but I'll just say a little bit more. So the layout of a protocol spec itself, the so-called TD, is loosely based on an RFC. If you look at RFCs, they're a similar way. So you get an introduction, you get the messages and protocol details. The bit I've got in blue here is really the crux of the protocol. That's the bit, if you're implementing, that you need to implement, the so-called normative bit that to interoperate, really. Then there's a bunch of other associated stuff. There's usually a bunch of examples. There's a bit of a security. Again, that follows the RFC model. They do pretty much the same. And then there's the appendix, which gives you various things. For instance, if you're in an RPC specification, you'll get a bunch of IDL in there. If you're in a SOAP one, you'll get a bunch of WSDL. So it depends exactly what you're looking at. And then you also get a bunch of Windows behavior notes. And if you're really lucky, the TD you're looking at won't involve .NET, so the Windows behavior notes will be quite small. But if you're looking at a .NET one, then if you can understand it, I admire you, because every time I look at anything .NET, it goes, oh my God, the interaction of 25 versions of .NET with X numbers of Windows versions is pretty hairy at the best of time. So just to give you a quick view, if you actually go into the web and you look, this is roughly the structure you get. So if you're in the MCPP world, you'll get WSO, which is Windows System Overview, sort of sits at the top of the tree of all the documents. And if you came to this stuff absolutely brand new and you never looked at any documents at all, then that's probably the right entry point to go to. Okay, you go there, that gives you a kind of overview of what you're going to get, and you can kind of walk down the layers. In my experience, most people I meet have been using their favorite search engine and have come straight into the middle of one of these TDs, protocol specifications, and they probably read that first. I mean, for instance, if you're interested in SMB or SIFS or something, you probably search for that, and you've come straight into the middle of one of these. And you might be unaware that there's a kind of peripheral set of documents that live with that. So there's overview documents that down here, and I'll say a bit more about file documents specifically. But there's also a bunch of other stuff, so-called reference document. There's a big glossary document that tries to unpick all the Microsoft acronyms and names, what we mean. There's D-type, which started life as really just a bunch of types. It's kind of exploded and is a bit ugly, frankly, at the moment, and we probably will try to clean it up, but it's got more than types. It's got a bunch of pseudocode for algorithms, say, for doing access checks and various other things. So it's got quite a lot. It's not that the content isn't useful. It's just, it's all sort of stuck together in one document where it would probably be nicer to spread it out a little bit. Error codes, locale-specific information, a bunch of Unicode stuff, and then there's another document that deals, this is essentially just a cross-reference of abstract data model information. So that's what the kind of MCPP picture looks like. And so MCPP, just to reiterate, was the US case and is basically Microsoft client to server protocols. WSPI, this is what happened in Europe. It's just worth saying about the European model. We tend to be very casual about it in some way, and we think of MCPP as client to server protocols and Europe as server to server. But actually, Europe wasn't quite server to server. It was server to server, then it was sliced up. It was actually server to server protocols and user and client administration sort of cutting through that. So you don't get all server to server protocols, but the ones that were specifically asked for. So in the European model, we get a similar structure. You get a bunch of technical specifications. You're going to get a bunch of overview documents, and there's a bunch of reference documents. The document that will ultimately sit at the top of the tree in Europe will be called MSWSOD, but it's not published yet, okay? So it's a kind of work in progress. So the European stuff is essentially more a work in progress. On the subject of overview documents, we actually plan to essentially deprecate the MCPP ones and move everything to what we call the WSPI ones. And so all the overview documents are going to be basically in this program, and these are the ones that will be maintained and updated going forward. So the overview documents that come out in WSPI, they will ultimately be updated, say, when Windows 8 comes out and so forth. That's me just reiterating. So WSPI wasn't completely server to server. It was file and print, user and group admin, network and transport. Okay, it was sliced slightly. I always try and figure out, well, what does that chop out? And it chopped out a bunch of media-related stuff and some other things. That's about it, though. This just gives you a flavor of, once we're finished doing overview documents, the kind of space that will be occupied by these documents. Okay, so these are the sort of high-level areas where we're doing overview documents. So we're not writing overview documents for every single protocol that Windows uses. A lot of the protocols are actually standalone. You know, they're really just, you know, somebody really had a burning need to transfer yet another file over yet another form of HTTP. You know, they probably used XML yet again. And so really, for most of us, you know, how many XML over HTTP do you really want to look at? Probably not that many. Tom Talpe touched on this as well, and I like the way he glossed over it, but I just want to reiterate, when you look at the websites, if you're going to go and download protocol specifications, there are, in fact, some documents that, so this is technical specifications now, protocol specs, that appear both in WSPI, i.e. the European side of things, and the American side of things. They have the same name in most cases, but the content differs slightly. Okay, so this is just a kind of warning to you. We would really like to get rid of this situation, and now that the consent decree in America has gone away, we will definitely be heading to a position where we unify the document set and that you don't get this surprise. But so what this list is really telling you is, if you have an interest in any of these protocol specifications, then you really want to check that you've actually got the one that you mean to have. because they are different. Okay, so and it's, I can't just stand here and say, oh, the WISPI ones are the bigger documents or MCPP are the bigger documents. It depends which one you look at. Okay, so all this is a heads up that these documents differ between the two different programs. Okay, so just be wary about them. Again, just skipping on reasonably quickly on this topic of system documents, there's five so-called defined task documents currently sitting on MSDN. You can go and get these right now. But as I say, we're not going to be maintaining these going forward. In fact, specifically the defined task things we're going to get rid of, we're going to do slightly differently. Basically, they're going to be broken up into overview documents at one level and then a bunch of scenarios at another level. And again, the existing system documents, so these are ones you can go and get right now. If you're interested in Active Directory or certification authorities or whatever your topic of interest is, you can go and find an overview document right now. I'm going to talk a little bit more about file access specifically, given that this is a file sharing plugfest. Just to reiterate as well is that the overview documents that exist and are published already, there's a bunch of network captures with annotations in the captures. So if you go and grab a copy of Netmon, load these up in Netmon, you can actually walk through the captures. You will find annotations that take you back to the specifications, well, to the overview documents as a form of capture file with narrative, essentially. So that's kind of history, as it were. Where we are now, we're in the middle of our program of producing these new updated overview documents, in some cases brand new overview documents. That's what PLR here is, keeps her occupied on a daily basis, something like that. Just to show you, so documents in red we already have on preview. The one in purple, which is a SharePoint one, which was probably talked about earlier in the week, but I wasn't in the room if it was, already exists. And then the other ones are one way or the other work in progress items. I'm going to talk specifically about these two guys, which is file access and the file system management in a little bit. Okay, so that's really just a quick background to overview documents. I would just, key takeaways I would say about that. We've done a bunch of system overview documents so far. We're going to do a bunch more. You can tell you've got the new one if it ends in OD rather than SO, is the bottom line. And if you're looking at technical documents, just be wary that some of them are different, and make sure you got the right one. Jeremy?
So are there any plans to UV5?
Absolutely. Now we're getting rid of that. Yeah, no, we are. So what's happening, particularly with the overviews, we're just going to leave the system, the so-called SOs, and freeze them, basically. And we're going to work on the ODs. And going forward, the ODs will be updated for Windows 8 and going into the future. So the ODs, in terms of overview documents, will be the ones that are maintained and developed. Same goes for the TDs. We, you know, more than anyone, having different documents with the same name drives us insane. You know, don't for 1 minute think we wanted that situation. And we badly want to get rid of it. The only problem is it's much easier to say than do. You know? So we are doing it, but it takes a little while to kind of figure out what is there that needs to be done to.
One thing to add to that is that we are definitely unifying the docs and every document going forward, the ODs, in addition to one. So Neil said they're going to really be licensing program agnostic. They're going to be focuses on technology.
Yeah, sorry.
It's more of a comment. So one of the things that I noticed is we grab the, so it's very convenient for you to grab the zip files with the whole document set and search for stuff locally and whatnot. One of the things I missed, though, is on the website, there's actually an index of group documents that essentially maps the short name
to a full name.
Yeah, and that's something I missed in the download.
Okay. So let me just reiterate what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying. And in fact, I think you're saying is this section here,
yeah,
that you're saying when you do the download, you don't get one of these, and
yeah,
you like having the name, the short name and the full title in one place.
That table there with the specification and description.
Oh, sorry, this section you're talking.
Either one.
Yeah, okay.
That one's even better, the table, because it also gives you a short description.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that would be, I mean, that's a good comment. We could do something like that. What you're saying is include that in a zip file somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me switch kind of deck now and start talking about what I really came to talk about. So I would love to have turned up here having these two documents ready to hand you, but it didn't quite work out that way. Okay, so these are distinctly work in progress items for us. And so I just want to talk about these two overview documents. What we've done, so this is partly a migration from thing that we've done. We had this document FSSO, which already exists, you can go and grab that. And we are transferring it, a bunch of boring stuff about moving between templates and styles and all sorts of things. But in essence, when we looked at moving it, we decided that actually we should split it into two different sets of content. So there's so-called file access, which is FSA, access services, which is the SMB family in essence. Okay, and then there's actually a bunch of management protocols that go with that. So, you know, SMB allows you to copy a file from one location to another. The file management is the thing that allows you to set up a share in order to perform that task in the first place. And we'll just look a little bit at where we're going with this sort of stuff. So the kind of whole idea of these documents is, and I think I said this before, but I'll just reiterate, these are really entry points for people that are picking up the protocol documents as new, you know. If you're a bit of an old hack that's probably hung out with SMB documents for a long time, I'm not sure how useful or not these are to people like that. But if you're newcomer, I think they are helpful to give you an insight into how Windows itself uses the different documents. So just roughly, and this I didn't try to be exhaustive here, but so when we talk about file access member protocols. I even hate the term member protocol. We're just on file access protocols. We're the usual suspects, SIFS, SMB, SMB2, and then FSCC, which I'm an old C guy, so I tend to think of SSCC as a hash include into SMB and SMB2, the file control codes. The overview document will also discuss NFS because Windows does support versions of NFS, so we talk about them as well. And then under the management side, there's a whole bunch of so-called user and group admin protocols that essentially allow us to manage file-related things, so everything from setting up shares to setting up quotas, all of these things. And the thing about this site specifically as well, this is a bit of a kind of the history of Windows going on here. Much as these protocols have evolved over time, so have the management protocols evolved over time. And not only have they evolved, they've kind of changed in style. We, you know, started life back with a thing called RAP. We kind of moved to an RPC model for quite a period of time. And really the move is away from RPC now to Windows Management Instrumentation style, which itself uses DCOM, but also uses SOAP. So the trend is to go management to be done via WMI, basically, which is either over RPC or over SOAP protocols. So just to reiterate, we said this before, file access overview, we're going to essentially freeze that. Was the question? Oh, sorry, Jeremy. Sorry. Yes. In fact, there is, by the way, some of that's already in FSSO. I don't know if you've looked at that. There is a bunch of that already there, but okay. So some of that is already there, actually. And it deals with, you know, abstract data models that what does Windows store or not store and so on. Yeah. Yeah. So in a way, we're just revisiting that in a new template, but we have a lot of that content. If you're interested in that and you're looking at that, we'd definitely like to hear from you if you've got comments on that stuff. Well, now it was Mr. Talpi, who's Mr. NFS himself. So
yeah.
He'll be able to tell you everything you want to know. Just seeing if he's still on the line, really. You got to sleep, Tom. There we go. He's still alive.
So, I'm sorry, what was the question?
It wasn't a question, Tom. We were just seeing if you're awake.
Awake.
It was. I was just pointing out that if anyone wants to know about NFS and Windows, you're the man.
Absolutely.
He is awake. Maybe. Okay, so file system overview, we're going to replace it with these two documents, and that's really what we're going to talk about. I just make the point that branch cache as a subject has its own overview document. One might say, oh, that should be part of file service as well. We've spilled that out into a separate overview document in its own right. Okay, and that's already available. Just give you a flavor of what's involved within the document. I actually stole this diagram out of FSSO. So there's one or two things that I sort of get half tempted into editing it. You know what it's like, you're putting some slides together. You steal a picture from somewhere, you think, should I edit it or not? But in the end, I left it alone. I would argue, actually, Tom talked about FSA. And so the object store, it would probably make more sense. I should have labeled that MSFSA would probably have been a good thing to do. But so this is just showing you the various protocols that are involved and overview documents, because, you know, file protocols like SMB don't live on their own. If you want to know about how does authentication work, you need to go and look in places. And things like also the authentication system overview, and we have an AuthSOD, so we have a system overview in the MCPP space, and we actually have an overview document in the EU space. So you could go and look at these overview documents if you want to understand a bit about how authentication works in relation to SMB. So that's the sort of places you want to go and look. So here we go, FASOD. Basically, this is file access, okay? It's going to explain file access, how Windows itself uses SMB, SIFS, and SMB2, okay? And explains things like the data models used for, say, a Windows client when it's accessing DFS, anything to do with Active Directory and so on. And then equally, there's a chunk on the data model used when Windows clients and servers use SMB or NFS or DFS. We've got a bunch of examples, and that's something we'd really appreciate feedback on. If you guys have any specific examples of usage, for instance, SMB and NFS combined, anything like that, specific use cases, if you like, of using the SMB protocols, if there's things you would like us to kind of elaborate more on, we would like to kind of hear about it. Right now, this is basically what we're working on. You know, we're going to do the kind of usual things, listing shares, listing files, opening files, performing file operations, what happens when there's a directory change notification. We're going to have examples. Examples basically mean you're going to get some narrative, you're going to get network captures and explanations that go with these network captures. Okay. Similarly, we repeat that exercise for NFS. And then we go on and we're going to have examples for DFS and the kind of usual things, DFS in a domain, DFS in a work group. And then we also got finding files using WebDAV for anyone that's interested in that sort of thing. So I don't know if I said to you, does anyone have like scenarios in mind that, you know, they use the file sharing protocols that would really like to hear from us and say, oh, I must have example, you know, doing X or Y or anything like that? Has anyone got it, you know, one that's burning them that they really need to tell us about? We must have documented it all already then, is that? I could live in that dream. Okay, so that was file access. As we said, we split this into two documents. And so management is the other. So file system services management overview is going to be the other document we're going to produce. And again, so this is kind of showing top level what goes on. So you get administration using of various services within Windows and the various protocols that we can do use to do that. If I touched on this before, and I'll just repeat this. So Tom very nicely says, oh, MS Wrap, we like to say it's an old or obsolete or whoever it is. The truth is it still gets used occasionally. In fact, if, I'm sure people have seen this. If you happen to have even Windows Server 2008 R2 set up in the right mode, i.e. using the browser service, it'll be quite happily chuntering away using SMB2. And then in the middle of the capture, it'll drop down to SMB and do a wrap call. And it does that for enumerating essentially a list of servers and shares on servers. We would badly like to get rid of this, but we just highlight it was a protocol that was supported. It really goes back to sort of Windows 95 timescales. And, you know, unless you really love it, I wouldn't use it because we're desperately trying to get rid of it.
Well, definitely don't write a new version of it. We see it a lot from printers, if you can believe it. The ROMs of old printers have it.
There you go. So, for quite a period of time after WRAP, really sort of Server 2003 timeframe onwards, the mode of management of file protocols was in essence an RPC approach. So most of the Windows protocols that allow you to manage things were, one way or the other, RPC-based protocols. So we had things like Workstation, the server service that Tom was talking about. Even DFS is a RPC-based protocol. So the whole kind of premise and if you like, thrust of management was based around RPC protocols. And so if you want to do management from that way, you have to build the RPC infrastructure to do so, okay? Which, frankly, is a little bit of a grind. You know, if all I want to do is create a share remotely, it's probably quicker to walk to the other machine than actually build the RPC infrastructure, I'm guessing. But so that is the way Windows traditionally did it. And as I say, we're kind of we've switched slightly. So, and if you look at the current available operating systems, Windows 7, Server 2008 R2. The model we're definitely in now is a kind of WMI mode. And as I say, WMI runs over either DCOM or SOAP. And this is just give you a kind of flavor of the sort of things you can do. You know, if you play with WMI, you'll see there's a bunch of classes. You can do things like there's a class specifically that represents a share. You can enumerate the share. And equally, if you're in the file replication, i.e. Active Directory replication, there's classes that represent AD, and you can get the information about inbound replication. You can get it data and things like that. So WMI is definitely the way the Microsoft operating systems are kind of going in terms of management protocols. This document, the kind of examples we've got at the moment, we've got essentially share management, so quite specific to SMB and so-called family, create, list, delete, etc. We've got a bunch of DFS-related examples we've got in there, creating namespaces, creating links, etc. And then a bunch of resource management things like creating a report job, configuring quotas is probably a reasonably important one. And then there's also server management, bunch of stuff related to aliases. So that's the examples we've got at the moment. And I would reiterate the same question. I don't know how much interest there is in file sharing management protocols. And if there is interest in them, you know, what examples, what information would you like to see from us that goes beyond what's in the base protocols themselves? So we're all ears if you've got an interest in them. There we go. So that's really all I've got. These documents, I'm going to put Pilar on the spot and ask her for timescales.
Yeah.
Okay. So on Preview Node, we'll be putting these documents out September timeframe. If people particularly want to talk to us about them, you know, if you had a deep interest in them, we'd be happy to talk to you directly about them as well.
And we would be very interested in any scenarios or examples that would be useful to you.
Any further questions? If you leave me here, I'll tell more bad jokes.
Sounds good.
Gotcha.
Any other questions also for Tom? Got him here.
Yeah, he's the architect for these documents.
Yeah, I'm just here for Badjul.
For those of you who are interested, and this is a reference, our Channel 9 videos where we record all of these presentations, these are, again, are posted for the event. Neil presented regarding branch cache in the not too distant past. He also presented some information along with Pilar and the team regarding AuthSoD, which was released in the preview node. And again, to remind you, these FASOD and FSMOD will soon appear in our preview node. They won't show up in the standard download section, but they'll be in the preview node just as AuthSoD did very recently.
I was just
so those are good references for you to keep in mind.
I would
item on the screen, so that's great. Just a couple of things for today. Moving ahead, did give you our feedback forms. We do appreciate your feedback. Oh, Jeremy.
I have a question about.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
So, have you any idea what the time frame is for application and sort of being popular?
Oh, listing shares, the wrap, and...
Well, not so much wrap, but some of the RPC interfaces, because...
To enumerate shares?
Yeah, because if you think about it, that's the most common use case.
Yeah, those
so
are
what
in...
What I'm trying to figure out is when the client's only using WMI, so or the combo,
yeah.
Shares, at that point, we're going to go in to make sure that their web services in.
Yeah, we should really let Tom answer, but my immediate answer to that would be that, of course, even new Windows clients have to be backwards compatible. So,
yeah,
probably not. I was going to say I'd be surprised if it's an hour working time.
Oh, really?
Okay. But Tom, do you want to answer? I was planning on retiring next year, by the way.
I couldn't hear the entire question.
So the question was to do with when do we think, given there's a kind of thrust of movement to management towards WMI and, frankly, SOAP-based protocols, do we have slated any time and intent to essentially make obsolete or withdraw or stop supporting, whatever term you want to use, the RPC management protocols for things like enumerating a share? Take WRAP as a first example. When's WRAP going to go away for good?
Well, WRAP has been going away over time.
Going away.
In the Windows 7, you know, current time frame, we really only support two of the RPCs at the server. The client doesn't issue, maybe, I think it probably is there because those are the two that the client continues to issue. But we've been cutting it out over time. WRAP is special, though. It's not an RPC protocol. It's embedded in the SIFS SMB protocol in a, very deep way. The RPC stuff, we're definitely not getting rid of. There's no plan to remove the support for that. or even to deprecate it.
There you go. That's back to the lifetime thing.
that's a lazy answer.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
When we say deprecate, we kind of mean maybe soon. I can put my hand up, though. When I worked in the C Standard, we used to say we're deprecating stuff. And then every year we would have a vote on whether we would take it out. And
it takes a long time to remove things from operating systems. And Windows has so many copies and so many interoperability issues. These things go away very slowly. RAP has been deprecated for many releases and still there.
Yeah, no good answer for you, just the honest answer.
Don't worry, we're not going to force this to WMI. That's not happening right away. New things will move to that, right? Existing things, different.
Other questions?
Yes.
FSBO, it's a separate thing.
FSBO was replaced by FSA.
Okay.
FSA is far more... far broader and far more in-depth.
Okay.
If you look back at it, so FSBO was replaced by FSA.
That's right.
And by the way, since we mentioned that, the next presentation is regarding FSA, and this next presentation, our day now is changing a bit. We're going away from the specifications per se. We will use FSA as an illustration of an example of what you would see from the test suite or from the debugger as you're observing some scenarios that Tarun will walk through, and specifically what you would see on the wire. So that's what we're going to look at next.
Hey, Daryl, I will mention a couple things about FSBO if it's interesting to folks. The document definitely still exists. It is still referenced informatively in a couple of places. FSBO was an attempt to do what was needed in the documentation, and frankly, it was a failed attempt. That's why FSA exists, because FSBO was not the appropriate approach. But FSBO does have some interesting discussion in it. In effect, it describes the behavior of many of the more relevant ERPs, the IO requests that flow within Windows to satisfy things that are exposed via SMB, things like OpLocks and the like. And so FSBO does have some interesting information, but there's no normative requirement stated in FSBO, and in fact, there's probably no important processing rule. I would encourage people to read it only as background. But you might find it interesting, and it is still occasionally relevant, particularly around, if you understand how Windows I/O works, it's especially interesting. It gives you a little more insight into how things are put together.
Let's take a break then for 15 minutes.